All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. March 31st, 2024. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's great wherever you are at. Sunshine, cool temperature, but beautiful, beautiful day. Crisp and clear. We had a little rain last night. But man, beautiful day. It is Easter. Happy Easter, everybody, if that is a thing. Easter cards and candy and whatever it is we do. But I hope it's a great day for you. We have some plans today. Going over to my in-laws for an Easter dinner, brunch, lunch, late lunch, early dinner thing. The kids are all down. My oldest son showed up yesterday, which was awesome to see him. It's funny, I've always heard stories about, you know, parents and their kids dropping in, right, and being excited. I used to be like, I don't get it, right? Well, I'm living that life now, right? My kids, my son, my middle son is back and forth with us. My oldest son is in college, and they just drop in sometimes. You know, we do tutoring for my middle son, and sometimes he'll stop by and forget a backpack, his mom will drop him by. I'm like, hey, oh my God, good to see you, right? Or when my oldest son dropped by yesterday, I talked to him. He'd gone to Mexico, and he went on spring break. He's such a good guy, such a freaking good guy. I love him. And he went on spring break. And then I talked to him. He texted me and said he was back in the country. I was like, oh, cool. I go, you coming down? You know, or actually, I was like, are you down, right? I didn't know if he was down here, because that's the other thing about having, you know, kids growing up, they're doing their thing, right? They are living their best life, and it doesn't always include informing me of everything, right? Because that's what we raise them to do. Go be good, right? Go be whatever it is. Take care of your business. Handle your business. And he does it. And so he was back. He texts me back, or texts me to say he was back. And I was like, are you down here or are you up there? And he was like, no, I'm up here. And I go, well, if you come down, let me know, right? We'd love to see you. And we were kicking it yesterday, and he came bebopping in the house. Hey, I'm home. I was like, yes. So we hung out with him last night. I went to a meeting, which was really cool. But it's really cool. So Easter is happening, and I did go to the meeting last night. It was great. I have, you know, I've been doing that meeting. I've been chairing the meeting for, I guess, the winter, pretty much. And it's been really good. I absolutely love that meeting. I look forward to the meeting. But my time has ended there. I am going, my buddy Dan's taking the meeting over because he needs a commitment, right? I've done it for, I think, a few months. And the other thing is I'm not going to be driving down there in the summer. It's just too much. And so got to chair my last meeting down there. It was really cool. My buddy Dean came down and spoke, which was amazing, brought his family. You know, I love to see people in recovery, you know, you share it with their family, right? Sharing it with your family. The families are the first ones to get affected, right? And it's so cool when they are, you know, come join in, right? And he came down, and of course it was the last Saturday of the month. And so we did a tradition, and the third month, so the third tradition was the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. And what an amazing tradition, right? What a great tradition. And so he came down and spoke on that. And, yeah, it was just really cool. Just so grateful today. Just, you know. Just very, very grateful. The reality is March 31st, 1997 was my original sobriety date. And that would be 27 years ago today, right? And believe me, that day when I stepped into the hospital to get stitches and find some relief, I had no idea that I'd be starting a journey that would take me some ups and some downs, but coming out of the darkness and into the light and just really being so grateful and, you know, what an amazing day, right?
When I counted up my demons, saw there was one for every day. But with the good ones on my shoulders, drove the other ones away. So if you ever feel neglected, if you think that all is lost, I'll be counting up my demons, yeah, hoping everything's not lost.
Play, everything's not lost. Counting up my demons. I think that's what my life has been ever since March 31st, 1997. 27 years it's been running down this path. What an amazing freaking journey it's been. And the toughest part, the solution, right, is just time, right? Sticking with it, hanging in there, going to a lot of meetings, and just putting in the time. It is, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, the words never change, right? I change, and it can be day by day, it can be week by week, it can be year by year, and it can actually be hour by hour. The changes can happen, and I remember, you know, being in one mood at one minute, and then another mood at the next, and it's just constantly changing, and then trying to figure out how to rein it in, right? Try to saddle it. Pull in the reins and try to understand what in the fuck is going on with me. And it is just that, counting up my demons, right? And the relationship between the dark and the light. You know, I'm 55 years old, and I have in my life, besides my father, probably met or found, right? Met for sure one man I think that has ever really inspired me to be a better person, and that was my sponsor, Matt. And, you know, Matt had a way of really making sobriety shine, right? He had a way of really making serenity sparkle. He was freaking good, and good by meaning he was great at doing nothing, right? He had that, you know, that position, that way about him that made you go, man, I don't know what it is about this guy, but I want to be like him, right? How he handled his business, how he handled his recovery. How he handled his recovery, really. Because Matt had, you know, recovery first, right? Nothing comes before recovery. Not your kids, right? Not your wife or husband, not your money. Nothing comes before recovery. And when you live that sort of life and you realize it is much more than just not drinking, right? Sobriety won't keep you sober. Serenity keeps us sober, right? Serenity keeps us in serenity. I don't know if that's a possibility right there. That might be a weird phrase, but the reality is it's more than just being free of the drink. And we start to live that life free of fear. And Matt was probably Matt was probably the one person that I had ever met that was inspiring. You know, my father inspired me, but in a different way, right? Just the fact that he was my father threw a couple negatives in there because we'd always, you know, bang heads and stuff just due to the fact that he was my dad. But he was, I have the utmost respect for my father. I've always have. And he's an inspirational guy too. He's done great stuff in his life. And but, you know, besides him, right, Matt was probably the first guy that I was ever inspired by. Well, I've found another guy, right? I have found another guy who is more inspiring. It's weird because it's such a weird time in our lives, but I have found this guy that is inspiring, man. And I just, everything I do, for some reason, I think, what would this guy do, right? And this guy's been sober 40 years and works a program. And when you see and hear a guy like this, you just hear program, right? The ability to keep his mouth shut, right? Not be offended. Washes off his back like a duck, right? It doesn't really matter. He has just this way about him that makes me want to be just like that, right? And the guy is RFK Jr. And I'm just blown away. And I'm sort of tired, I don't talk about it because this isn't a podcast about politics, and I'm not going to make it about politics. This podcast is trying to find character for me, right? And that was one of the things that recovery brought back to me, was some character, right? And I've never met this guy, right? We did go to see his announcement as an independent up in Philly, but we didn't get to meet him. We just supported. And like I said, this podcast isn't about politics, but I'm tired of not talking about this guy because besides him, you know, running for the presidency, he's just a freaking great human being. And the things that he thinks about and the things that he are concerned about for, at least for our country, are things that for some reason seem to ring true with me as when I grew up. And, you know, it's easy for me to say, oh, my God, back when I was a kid, life was just a lot easier. It wasn't. We had tons of trouble. We had problems. We were complaining about shit back then, right? It's easy to look back and put, oh, the Gen Xs, they had this, you know, we grew up in this time. And it's easy to look back and not look at the problems. But we all had problems back then. But there just seemed to be a bit more emphasis on character. And not becoming a character. And I have talked endlessly about character, right? Character defects, shortcomings, my character, caricatures, right? How I would look, how I probably looked back then, and how I hope that I look today. And I look at the landscape of people out there, and I don't know if it's just because of my age. I think it's just my age and politics crossing right at this point, right? Because I can tell you, I've never really paid much attention because I think for most of my life, right, all I focused on was me. All I focused on was me. And now for some reason, I'm sort of paying attention, right? All of a sudden, you know, and I was telling a friend the other day, this feels like the year where the curtain was pulled back, last few years, right? Ever really since the pandemic has ended. It's sort of like, you know, we found out. And I, you know, as a son of a military guy, I have always trusted our government, right? And I love the idea of trusting our government. And when I found out, you know, for me, right, through different information, that sometimes things aren't as the way that I thought they were, I was a little in shock. I was a little shocked. Right? I was a little shocked to find out some of the same things that have gone on. And regardless, and I'm not going to point out things. Whether one person thinks they're true or not, the problem is there's a big divide in us, right? There's a group that thinks it's true. There's a group that thinks it doesn't. There's a group that thinks it's right, a group that thinks it's wrong, right? And so there's a huge divide. And the guy, this RFK Jr., man, if I can just share a little of my story about him, was like a lot of people, right? I remember during the pandemic hearing about this guy talking about his anti-vax. And I remember this son of a bitch, right? I hated him. Oh, I didn't hate him. I didn't like him because at the time the country was going through some crazy stuff, right? And At least on the East Coast. I mean, wherever you're at, I don't know what your sort of situation was, but here we were, you know, we had mandates, we had masks, we had closed all of our businesses. Life was a lot different. And I remember hearing these rumors about this Kennedy guy talking about being in, as an anti-vaxxer. And I was like, that son of a bitch, anti-American, right? You know, be on board to help, not hurt us, right? Whatever it was. And then he was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and I watched it, and I just sat there. It was on a three-hour podcast. I watched every minute of it, and my jaw just hung open, and I just listened to this guy take me on a journey from history to the present, and just so full of knowledge, right? And I remember Joe Rogan was like, all right, Jamie, check that, fact check that, right? Because we were also in this time where everyone was so afraid to put out, you know, the wrong information, misinformation, right? And so everybody's fact-checking everybody. Nobody wants to get canceled and the cancel culture, right? So, and I remember he was, Jamie, let's check that, right? And I was like, this guy. But I watched and I listened and I was just blown away. And the one thing that blew me away is his character. You know, and what I'm learning, it's more of like a Stoic, right? One of the Stoics, this say less. And I don't know a lot about the Stoics, but it had that sort of, and that's how my buddy Matt was. You know, I remember the time I went to go see him and he, you know, he was like, you know, I forget what he was going through. And I started to give him a solution. He goes, I didn't have you come over here to talk. I just wanted you to listen. And then basically sat in silence, right? And that's how... to me, when people are in recovery or have some good time, less said the better, right? And that's how Matt was, and that's how RFK Jr. was. And I watched him, but you know, the one thing about him, he had an injury, a neurological injury, so it affected his voice. That seems to be the biggest issue with him. And listen, I even listened to him, and I go, God, this voice, you know. And he said it. If I had to listen to myself, I wouldn't listen, right? But that's the burden, right? That's the burden. That's the cross he bears. And I now listen to him, and I couldn't imagine him not having this fucked up voice, right? I couldn't imagine him, you know, just talking like a normal person. Like it's even tougher, right? You know, it's hard enough running for president and trying to win over people to support you, but then you throw on, you know, the hunchback of Notre Dame, right? You throw on the voice. You do whatever it is. Or not on purpose, but you have whatever it is that keeps separating you from more people, and you got to keep pushing through, and he does. And so after the Joe Rogan podcast, I have just deep dived on this guy. I freaking fell in love with this man. That's not weird to say, right? Absolutely fall in love with this guy. I love his character. I love his history, his story, you know, his love of animals. He's an environmental lawyer. He's been doing more for this country as just an activist and a lawyer and just a lover of the United States than most politicians have ever done in their whole lifetime, right? He helped clean up the Hudson, started River Keepers. You know, we live by the Delaware River right here. We paddle right here. You know, the River Keepers watch over the Delaware River, stopping people polluting in this river. That's how it started. If someone was polluting, they rode a boat up the river, right, and found them and sued them. And cleaned up this country. But besides all that, right? I just have fallen. I was telling my wife, this guy's overqualified for being president. He's just too good of a human being. And the other thing about him is that he's 40 years sober. And when I found out that he was 40 years sober, it all made sense. You know, the character, the Stoic, right? This position of just less said. He's just an amazing freaking guy, and I'm tired of being embarrassed that I am in love with this dude, right? I just, when I watched his State of the Union, because he had he did his own State of the Union, and it made me cry, right? I remember the simple life that we used to live. I don't think we can get that. That's the only one of the challenges. I don't know if I want to go back to that, right? But this healing that I feel like we need to start having in our country and within ourselves, and I try to, you know, I try to do my part one person at a time, right? I fall short sometimes. It's not always easy, but, you know, I have tough conversations with people. And when it's over, I always say thank you, right? Just talking about politics, just talking about these things. And we live in a time now where all we do is focus on the things that divide us. And he wants to talk about the things that bring us together. And I agree, right? This is a real turning point for us, I think. And I think I'm so, you know, my buddy Matt, 10 years ago, he said, let me tell you, man, people are starting to become okay with mediocre. And I was like, whoa, what's that mean? And he was right. We have become okay with mediocre, right? I had this friend of mine who works at a place down here, and she said that back in the day, if you didn't come to work or didn't call in, you were fired. And today, that is not the case. You can keep your job if you don't come to work or don't call in and show up the next day. You still have your job, right? Because it's harder and harder to find people to work. Part of the reason I'm getting out of the salon business, 14 years is plenty, but, you know, I just don't want to be responsible. I only want to be responsible for my actions. I don't want to be responsible for other people's, and it's tougher and tougher. There's great people out there. We're all figuring it out, but it's tough. It's not hard to talk to anybody that owns a business, right, and that needs people to work, and it's tough. But I just am just a huge fan, and the 40 years of sobriety, and he was on Jocko's podcast. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast, but he just was on Jocko's podcast. And Jocko, I don't know the name of his podcast, but just type in Jocko. I don't really watch his podcast, but he's a military guy, and he had him on. And Bobby sat and talked about the spiritual awakening. He also talked about, you know, the spiritual malady, right? And how he had an imbalance in his spirituality. And, you know, that is absolutely true, right? I hadn't really, you know, I know that the disease of alcoholism is a spiritual malady, but I didn't quite, I sort of understood, but when I listened to him sort of explain it, it sort of helped me. And I loved how he talked about how he started to believe in God, right? Just one day he said, listen, if this is what we're going to do and this is what I have to do, I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to proceed forward like I'm doing it, which was believing in God. And, you know, we start doing that in the second step, and then in the third step we start making better choices. And he just talks about this spiritual realignment. And he's just a freaking great guy. And, to each his own, but I would say forget about presidency. If you want to just sort of listen to a guy that has 40 years of recovery, right? And I can tell you, 40 years does not mean you are golden. I've definitely met people with that much time or even more, right, that are still a little nuts. So it's nothing guaranteed, but I don't know. The weird thing, I think, is that I've had this shame in me. Like, I can't talk about him. I can't admit that I love this guy, right? And it's because we are in this time where we're all so different, right? If you love this, then you hate everybody, right? If you love this, then you hate everybody. And we can't have tough conversations anymore, right? We can't even have simple conversations, right? And so I have had this almost shame inside me saying, you know, I can't like this guy, and it's, and I'm tired of it. I'm not going to feel that shame. I absolutely love this guy. I think he's a freaking miracle of a guy. And I suggest that if you are concerned or worried and wonder if there are other options, I would take a look at RFK Jr., especially if you like sobriety. And, you know, when you listen to him talk and how he doesn't, you know, make fun of other people and take shots at other people and badmouth other people. And, you know, it's a real breath of fresh air, quite honestly. And when you tell the truth, they said, you know, the other thing, man, they just have all this great videos and information. I just saw this video when he was fucking a young guy, man, and he was down in Alabama and he wrote this book about this judge. And it's just, he's just such a great guy, and I don't know. It is check him out if you want. Check him out. Actually, check him out. If you want to see what a guy who's practicing the 12 steps of this program, goes to a meeting every day, works with another alcoholic, has had the spiritual awakening, has had the spiritual realignment, listen to this guy talk, right? And have character, right? Not be a character. And one of the cool things that, you know, they just announced last week that the DNC, which is the Democratic Party, they brought in a whole team to smear him, right? They're going to attack him because he is a third party. And, you know, they're taking he's a problem. He's a problem for the other candidate. So they have started a campaign to attack and smear him. And I'm sort of laughing inside because I don't think they can find anything on this guy. I really don't, right? One of the things on Joe Rogan's podcast he talked about is being a heroin addict, right? And using methamphetamines and getting arrested and going to jail and all the shit that comes to – that's happened to all of us, right? That's happened to me. His story is just like mine, right? And finally, you know, being able to find recovery and get sober and just love it, right? I love it because it's all out there. There is no – for a guy that's living a life of serenity, there is no secrets, right? Because that's the point of recovery, right? It's going through these steps, right? We go through all of it, the moral inventory. We make the list. We tell on ourselves. We get it all out in the open. We shred that fucking piece of paper. We can use that list when we start making our the list of people that we have harmed and making the amends. And then we get all through it. And then we live in the 10th step. And then we have meditation with God. And then we work with another alcoholic. That's life. We've cleaned it up. There's nothing. There's no rock to unturn. Right? There's no shame in our game, and it just is awesome. And so I'm not going to be embarrassed that I am absolutely loving RFK Jr., super supportive of this guy. Check him out if you are concerned about a third, or if you're concerned about your choices, right, and you want to look into a guy, just check him out. Not even about the presidency. Just look at him as a man. If you're wondering what recovery looks like, That's what it looks like, and I pray to God that this guy gets a chance, because you know, for our kids, for us, you know, people say, "Oh, I'm worried about my grandkids." I'm worried about me, right? I want to see a country that, you know, one of his big things is about our health. You know, nobody's talking about it, but we're a very unhealthy country, unfortunately, and it's not because we'd want to be, right? It's just a situation that we have, and people want to talk about it in his camp, which I think is awesome. You know, our number one problem is not the Ukrainian war, right? Our number one problem is our health of our kids, right? 1 in 65 kids at one time used to have diabetes. The guy, Kennedy, says that when a doctor back in this, you know, when he was growing up, a doctor might see a child with diabetes once in a lifetime, and now it's 1 out of 3 youth have diabetes. That's bad. Right, that's not good. That's our kids. That's our grandkids, and he's the only one talking about it. I just love it. So enough. Sorry, but I'm not going to be embarrassed anymore that I love this guy. He's freaking awesome, and go check him out. And he's a great example of what recovery, how recovery works in our life, and what it looks like when it works in our life. And I just, you know, I love it. And but that, you know, great meeting last night. My buddy Dean came down and did the third tradition, which is the only requirement. And, you know, my thoughts on that were just like, you know, thank God there was no rules. You know, only needed to have a desire to stop drinking because, you know, when I came into this program, it wasn't really even about getting sober. I mean, I wanted to stay off the sauce, but, you know, meetings in the beginning taught me how to be a man. And if I would have had to fill out forms and, you know, all this other bullshit, I don't know where I'd be today. And so the simpleness of, you know, the only requirement is a desire to stop drinking is just golden. And but I've talked enough. Maybe I'll read the Daily Reflections. This is not a political podcast, so if that bothered you, you work it out or don't listen. But that was more about just an amazing man. And I get, like I said, you know, my first sponsor, Matt, he was the guy that I wanted to be better, right? I'd shared that, you know, while he would get in the car and I would sit up straight and I would put my hands at 10 and 2, put on my seatbelt, turn on the music because I wanted what Matt had. And I look at RFK Jr. and I have what he has, right? I'm not a president, right? I'm not a candidate, but I'm living that life. I don't have to be terrified by conversations and fear and bullshit brought up in the past and all this nonsense. I can just live in the moment and enjoy this freedom, right? The freedom of fear that I get to experience today, just like he does, right? They bring up things and he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. Like he's just, no big deal, right? It's no big deal, and I just love that. And all right, daily reflections. No one denied me love. On the AA calendar, it was year two. A newcomer appeared at one of these groups. He soon proved that his way was a desperate case and that above all, he wanted to get well. He said, since I am the victim of another addiction, even worse, stigmatized than alcoholism, you may not want me among you. 12 steps, 12 traditions. I came to you, a wife, a mother, woman, who had walked out on her husband, children, family. I was a drunk, a pillhead, a nothing. Yet no one denied me love, caring, a sense of belonging. Today, by God's grace and the love of a good sponsor and a home group, I can say that through you in Alcoholics Anonymous, I am a wife, a mother, a grandmother, and a woman, sober, free of pills, responsible. Without a higher power I found in my fellowship, my life would be meaningless. I am full of gratitude to be a member of Good Standings in Alcoholics Anonymous. That's right. Yep. Hmm. Thank you, AA. Definitely appreciate it. I hope everyone has a great day. Happy Easter. Yeah, man. Love this life. Later.